I'm always looking for the healthiest ingredients I can find, number one. And then number two, I want to make food comforting and enjoyable.
This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm a writer and a writing coach who helps women develop and publish their memoirs and essays. But most importantly, I'm a human who's always trying to figure out what my soul is saying. Each week, I'll share stories and tips of healing, hope, and following my heart so that you'll feel inspired to follow yours. Hi, everyone. So I am here with my love, Jamie Johnstone, and we are talking today about one of our favorite subjects, which is food. We're talking about this because Jamie and I have been planning the most nourishing retreats that are upcoming. And we have had such a good time planning the locations, planning the menus. Oh my gosh, it's brought us so much joy, and we can't wait to see you in person. And as we've been talking about these retreats, food has been a major subject because Jamie, my husband, caters these retreats. We used to lead them pre-pandemic, and now we're finally able to do them again. And we're going to talk with you today about Jamie's background in cooking, what food means to us, what kinds of food he prepares, what inspires him, and the types of foods that he nourishes everyone with whenever he is catering, and what you can expect at retreats. So here we go. First, I wanted to give a little bit of background about when I met Jamie and what my food appreciation was. So I grew up as a product of the late 80s and 90s, in which there was a lot of diet food culture. So it was like low-fat yogurts and lean cuisines that you would microwave. And that was pretty much what was available in our house. A lot of bowls of cereal for dinner. And we didn't really concentrate that much on food in our house, making of food or baking of food. This is no knock against my parents. It's just that we had super busy schedules. Everyone was on a different timeline. And we were all just kind of grabbing and going. And the irony is that when I went to college, I actually became a nutrition major. And I think that there was something inside of me that knew that the diet culture I'd grown up in as a young woman didn't feel great. And I think I went to college wanting to get away from that, to learn about how to feed the body, truly feed the body, nourish the body, provide sustenance, look at food in terms of a full experience and enjoyment. But the sad part was that you had to take chemistry in order to move on into other interesting courses in the nutritionist realm. And I basically failed chemistry in college. I'm not a science-minded person. And so here I was, a young woman really wanting to learn about food as a means of holistic health. And then I took chemistry, almost flunked out, and then became an English major. So I didn't get that lesson. And then when I was 22 years old in graduate school, I had a very low budget for food, and my diet consisted of eggs in the morning, and then some kind of lunch meat roll-ups, and then or a lean cuisine, and then dinner was probably more microwaved meals. I cringe at the thought. And I scarfed them down and just ate basically to fulfill my hunger, but didn't appreciate the food. And then I met Jamie. and my world of food completely changed. So, love, why don't you tell everyone about your food background and your cooking background?
Okay. I guess to start from the beginning, my first job in the restaurant industry was about 13 years old. And I started washing dishes for this local seafood restaurant because it just so happened one of my friend's dads was an assistant manager there and they were looking for dishwashers. So I had done various jobs working at fruit and vegetable farms, picking crops and things like that. And so I took that job and I had always kind of been into food as a young kid. I was always kind of drawn to the idea of cooking. You know, I wanted a kitchen when I was like 6 or 7 years old. I asked my parents for a kitchen for Christmas. And, you know, I like to cook for cousins and at least what was cooking at that age, you know, making like scrambled eggs and things like that. So as I worked in that restaurant as a dishwasher, every time I brought dishes into the kitchen, I would watch all the chefs in there working, you know, like a bunch of busy bees. And I was just always drawn to that and impressed by it. So I would often, whenever I had a break, go in there and sit there and watch. And, you know, any chance I could, I would sit and watch them and just take it all in. And I was fortunate that there were two brothers that were chefs together there, and they were great guys, and they could kind of see, I think they saw my interest. And so on, any time there was a slow period when we didn't have a lot of customers or it was a downtime after prep work, they would let me come in and come on the line, and they would kind of teach me and let me kind of cook things, you know, when orders came in, when it wasn't busy. So that's where it all started. From there, I went on to work at several country clubs in the area, a couple of other restaurants, and eventually went on to culinary school. I attended Johnson & Wales University in Providence, Rhode Island, and got a degree in culinary arts and hotel restaurant management. From there, I worked at an Italian restaurant in Franklin, Massachusetts, where I grew up for a few years as a sous chef. I also did an internship for college at the Pillar House, which was a really high-end restaurant just outside Boston, which is no longer existing, unfortunately, but so I had some really good experiences. One problem is that I think maybe starting so early that the restaurant business burned me out at an early age. I had burned out before I was even 30 years old, just due to all the hours, weekends, holidays, never seeing anybody, family or friends. I was just always working. The last job I had as a sous chef at the Italian bistro I worked at, I was working, what were my hours? I think they were Tuesday through Sunday, typically 10 to 12 hour days minimum, and had Mondays off. So you can imagine I didn't really ever see anybody. My family and friends were all working the Monday to Friday days, and you know, I was kind of in this world on my own with my coworkers at the restaurant. So needless to say, just over time that burned me out, and I ended up moving on and doing other things. But the passion for cooking has never left. So I've always dabbled in it. I've stayed involved in it by means of catering, just, you know, through word of mouth for friends and family. And since you've started your business doing retreats, we've been collaborating together on that. And I've also, obviously, since we've been together, I've been the chef at home, which is good because I need that. I certainly have a passion for the cooking. I didn't leave the restaurant industry because I didn't like cooking. I love cooking. I love making food for people. So I've always been drawn to it. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So I'll never forget early on in our relationship, Jamie came over. He flew in to Chicago because we were doing long distance Massachusetts to Illinois while I was in grad school. He flew in and he made a meal for my mom and I. And he made this pecan encrusted salmon. And then there was some kind of wonderful vegetable to go along with it and something else. And there was like a maple glaze on the salmon. At the time, I didn't even know how to
Maple Dijon, actually.
Oh, maple Dijon. See? And at the time, I didn't even know how to describe the ingredients. But I remember watching him in the kitchen and just seeing the amount of love and passion and focus that he was putting into food. And it was unlike anything that I had ever seen. And it was so endearing and so attractive to me to watch someone take great care with food and to really think about the people that they were serving and to put so much effort into it. First of all, it just filled the entire kitchen with lovely smells, and It was almost like hearing music for the first time when you haven't heard music before. It was just so wonderful to see all of this cooking going on and the smells that fill the house. And he always plays music while he cooks. And it's just a whole event. Even now when he makes meals, he'll say, oh, all of that effort and it's gone in 20 minutes, right? And I'll say, no, but it's not wasted because those hours of prep work when the house is filling up with incredible spices and smells and the sound of the cooking in the kitchen and the music playing and the heat coming out of the oven, like it creates an ambiance for hours and hours so that even if the actual meal takes 20-30 minutes to eat, it's hours of joy that are brought into a place. So when we, my mom and I, ate that salmon dish, it was like, what is this? It was an explosion of flavors. But at the time, I didn't even know how to talk about the food. So Jamie stood there and he was like, so how is it? And I'm like shoveling it in and I'm like, It's really good. And he's like, yeah. And you can tell he's like waiting to see, okay, what do you like? But I didn't have a palate, let alone like the words to describe food. So I've really learned from Jamie over time, from going to restaurants and then having him prepare dishes, even how to talk about food, what the ingredients are. And I'll tell another funny yet embarrassing story. This is like how removed from food I was. One time, Jamie and I went shopping. This was like our first time in a grocery store together when we were early on dating. And he asked me for, what, a bulb of garlic, I think?
Yeah, I think so.
And you guys, I didn't know what a bulb of garlic was. I didn't know what it looked like. I was like, what does that look like? I mean, when we were young, first of all, my mom and dad would do the grocery shopping. We didn't go in that much with them. And it was in and out and they would, you know, it was just grab the cereal, the microwave meals, you know, some apples and grapes or whatever, and then come out. And so I didn't know what the garlic looked like. I knew what garlic powder looked like. And so I came back with an onion. And Jamie was like, oh, man.
You're in the right family.
Yeah.
No, but in your defense, though, I mean, that's, you know, that's on me. You know, sometimes you take for granted that every household uses fresh garlic, which is not the case. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I don't even always use fresh garlic because a lot of times I go to the spice rack, I use granulated or something like that when you don't have the time, you know.
Right.
So
yeah.
Taking for granted that everybody would assume they know what fresh garlic is. So,
But so Jamie not only has taught me about ingredients whenever we go out, he's like, oh, so what they did was this. And oh, can you taste this and this? And whenever we're in the kitchen together, you know, everything just comes very naturally to him. He never follows recipe books ever. And he might, you know, if I say, can I help with something? He might say, okay, just cut up whatever, the sweet potatoes. And I'm like, so many questions come into my head. How big do I cut it? Do I take the skin off? But all of this stuff just comes naturally. So over the years, I have watched and just gotten so in love with food because of Jamie. And I think the thing that pairs us well is that I love tasting everything. I'm pretty much willing to try just about anything. And I think that was something that you appreciated when we were early on dating.
Very, very endearing to me. The first time, I believe it was the first time you came to Boston for that weekend. And I tried to cram as much seafood down you as I could while you were there. But we went to, I remember we were in Boston, and I think I asked you if you had ever had oysters on the half shell before. Mm-hmm. And you were like, no, and asked me what they were like. And I was trying to, there's really no good way to describe an oyster. I mean, you can, as a chef, you can say, oh, it's briny. It's, you know, it's got this texture, different things about it. But to somebody that's never eaten a raw shellfish before, it's kind of a disgusting, looking thing, and textures are kind of weird and all that, but I mean, they're amazing. I love them. But yeah, the fact that I knew that you grew up on lean cuisines and cereal, and I asked you if you would want to try oysters, you were like, sure, I'll try them. And that was very impressive to me, because that's not even easy for me to ask of people that grew up in Boston, who grew up around seafood. You know, there's plenty of people I could have asked that same question that I grew up with, and they'd be like, no way. So a girl from Chicago that had never seen probably any seafood at that point, or maybe once in your life, that was impressive.
Yeah.
And you liked it too, which was cool.
Yeah. So he got me exploring and trying all of these different foods, and food has been a major, major part of our relationship and now a part of our family life. So there are many things that Jamie has done that have really been meaningful to me. So he cooks the majority of our dinners. And that is no small thing. I think about what he's going to cook for dinner probably very early in the morning. Like, oh, I wonder what he's making. And when I would teach late at night, I loved walking into the house and seeing a plate covered in foil on the stove. Or coming home, both of us from work, and he would get the oven going right away and all the ingredients out. And it just was such, and is such, an act of love to me to have him cook and to be able to receive that food. And Jamie, you know, you really taught me about food as enjoyment and to linger over it and to let it be an experience. And that's part of it too. So it's not only sustenance and nourishment, but it's also to be enjoyed. And as a woman growing up in the world around diet culture, that is certainly not something that I was trained for, that to be okay, you know, to enjoy food and to linger over food. And so that was really impactful to me. So now in our house, in the morning, every morning, we sit down at the breakfast table and talk together as we eat. At night, we sit around the dinner table and say thanks. And Jamie brings out whatever amazing thing he has made. And we have a lot of conversations around the table. And it's our come together place at the end of every day. And it's something we prioritize all of the time, for sure. So I want to know, what inspires you as a chef?
Well, I would say a big inspiration for me as of late on our road trip was experiencing, as you know, we dined at a few different places, especially up in Door County, where the owners were a couple. Mm-hmm. And the couple came from some different type of a background. You know, there was something they were doing professionally, their careers, it just felt like a grind and they weren't really into it. And they started these food services and they were these amazing places and they were doing it on their own terms. That's been very inspiring to me as of late, seeing these couples collaborate and have these successful food service businesses. And, you know, Pearl up in Door County and Roots Kitchen and the farm that we were at where we had that dinner. I mean, there were so many
Hidden Acres,
right? Yeah, there were
so many
cool inspirations there, just because you could tell they were just really loving what they do. That's one thing that inspires me when I see people doing that, doing it, because I think there's a difference when you're doing something for yourself on your own terms. That's really, really attractive to me, something that I love the idea of. Also, you know, I'm always inspired by other chefs. You know, anytime we go out to a restaurant and we have a meal, you know, and a lot of chefs do this. A lot of people probably don't realize it, but a lot of chefs are grabbing inspiration from other chefs and kind of taking what they eat. Like, for example, we may go somewhere to eat, and if there's something that I really enjoyed or you enjoyed or we really like the idea of it, then I can in turn go home and play with that and put my own spin on it, you know, do my own version of it. So it's not like I'm going in there and getting a recipe and following their recipe. I'm just taking some of the components and ideas and putting my own twist on them. So certainly other chefs are inspiring to me. And you'll hear chefs say that on the Food Network all the time. I hear Guy Fieri says it all the time, Bobby Flay. When they're around other people in a competition and they taste something or judge something that someone has made and they're like, wow, that's really good. Just letting you know, I'm going to steal that. I'm going to use that in my restaurant. So that happens a lot. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's just gaining inspiration from someone and putting your own creativity into it and creating your own version of that.
Yeah. And I think what I notice about you is that your food is really, really seasonal. You care a lot about where it was grown, how it was grown, the sourcing of the food. That's why the dishes that you make feel so good, because we're typically eating food in whatever seasons that they're harvested in, they're most ripe when we're wherever, say we're in Wisconsin or we're on the East Coast, we're typically you are preparing the food that is grown there or caught there. And that is part of, I think, what inspires you. It's like, what's in season? What's local? What's grown well? What's organic? We used to have chickens and you raised them and fed them so well so that the eggs that we got from them were like golden yolk and just so fresh. You know, just go out to the backyard and grab the eggs. And we also had a garden. And so I know that we'll want to do that again, you know, next spring, start up the garden again. It was so amazing to watch you just go into the backyard and just get our ingredients and get the eggs from the chickens. And so that's what I notice about what is inspiring to you: seasonal, local, well-sourced food. And also, you're such a service and hospitality-driven person that whenever people come over to our home or we're leading these retreats, like, you just light up. You want nothing more than to nourish and serve them. And so people will come over to our house, and I'm not a natural host, everyone, in terms of the food thing. I care deeply about creating a welcoming environment, an inclusive environment, making sure everybody gets equal talking time, talking about important things, making sure everyone feels great. But in terms of food and drink, thank goodness I'm married to Jamie, because it's like you would not eat or drink anything if you came to our house, because I would just be sitting on the couch asking you about your feelings and completely forget to ask you if you needed water. So when people come over to our house, Jamie completely takes care of all of that. What do you want to drink? He notices when your glass is nearing empty. He makes the food. He notices when you need seconds, etc. Like, he is just on that. I do some baking, and that's my one like foray in the food world, but I'm here to make sure that you feel really, really loved in our home. Jamie will completely take care of you in terms of the food and the drink. So what kind of food do you cook, my love?
Well, I just want to go back real quick to what inspires you, because you did bring up a good point about the ingredients, and ingredients certainly do inspire me. I know a lot of times every week when it's shopping day, if I'm going to go shopping, and I don't know, I'd say just about every time you say, hey, well, do you want me to make a list? Do you want to make a list? And I'm always like, nope, I don't want to make a list. Because I like to go into the store and just see what's available. You know, if we go to a farmer's market or a grocery store, wherever we're going, I like to walk in, even though I know I'm making my life more difficult that way, but I'm walking into the store and seeing what fresh produce is available, what herbs are available. You know, do they have potatoes? Do they have onions? What are the different kinds of things they have? Do they have wild-caught seafood? That's really how I build our meals. I go into the store, see what I have to work with, and try and build around that. So ingredients certainly do inspire me.
Yeah, and in terms of inspiration, just as I'm always following authors and reading books constantly, Jamie's celebrities are chefs. Like, who does he follow on social media? Well, he's like, I catch him watching David Chang videos constantly. And who does he watch? Who does he watch documentaries about? It's always, always chefs. Who might he listen to talking on a podcast? Chefs. Like, those are your sources of inspiration as well.
I can't wait to watch that documentary about Anthony Bourdain. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, yeah. So tell everyone the kinds of meals that you cook and why.
Okay, so kinds of meals I cook. Everybody asks me that. Anybody that finds out if I'm a chef, they ask me, so what's your forte? What's your specialty? What do you like to cook? And that's not an easy answer for me, because I like to do a lot of different things. What do I cook and why? Well, for us personally, you know, we do have dietary restrictions in the family. So a lot of our menus are built upon that, unless we're having what I call I don't care days, where certain people in the family might not care about having an upset stomach or something if they can just indulge a little bit. So sometimes we'll do that. But for the most part, I try to build our meals around fresh ingredients. Are they organic? Is it wild-caught seafood? Is it grass-fed beef? Is it free-range chicken? You know, I'm always looking for the healthiest ingredients I can find, number one. And then number two, I want to make food comforting and enjoyable. I don't want the typical, you know, a lot of people think you're eating healthy, that you're going to be eating boiled chicken and steamed vegetables. And what I'm learning over the years is you can really make healthy food taste good. I like to try and take spins on certain comfort dishes and just, you know, try to make them as nourishing and as healthy as possible at the same time while also making them taste good. That's really what drives me when I cook our meals. And obviously because we have our boy Gio, you know, he's a young growing guy, and I want to make sure he's putting the best nutritious food into his body as possible, hoping that he'll appreciate that and crave that food. You know, you have a nutrition background. Oftentimes it's hard and less fun it may be to start a good diet and eat healthy ingredients, your body will crave them. Your body will actually crave good food. So that's what I'm really hoping for Gio. I want to build good eating habits for him and want him to grow up as healthy and strong as he can. So why do I cook? What do I cook and why? Also, it's just to see people happy. I love to serve people meals, and I love to get their reactions. You know, food is such an emotional thing. A lot of people, it's such a social and emotional thing. And, you know, chefs were artists, and artists, they need to be validated, you know? So it's kind of, you know, a lot of times I love to cook and I want to hear people's feedback. And if they enjoy it, it's a bonus.
Yeah. And specifically, like, okay, for breakfast, I went for a workout this morning. I came back home and Jamie had this, you know, just typical breakfast tostada waiting for me with over easy egg, avocado, salsa verde, squeeze of lime on a tostada. Like, this is typical breakfast that I come back home to. I love all sorts of food, but my most favorite is Mexican food. And so he will put a twist on a lot of breakfast items. He'll make breakfast tacos for us. If I can have avocado, lime, and cilantro in everything and anything, I will. So Jamie will do that. And on the weekends, like, he makes these lavish pancake or waffle spreads that Gio loves and always adds like fresh fruit and everything. And so he's always taking whatever it is that we crave and we love, and he's just whipping stuff up in a matter of like 10 minutes. Oh, no problem, breakfast. And then depending on the season, fall is one of my favorites. Oh my gosh, the chilies he can make, meatless or with meat chili, and it's just amazing. And he has secret ingredients that he puts in there that makes the chili so unbelievable. And his meatloaf is amazing. And he smokes meats as well. He is a Traeger smoker and is a master of the grill, but then can do wonderful vegetarian dishes at the same exact time. He makes this eggplant garlic soup, and he makes these grilled and sauteed vegetable dishes. And I mean, just, it's incredible. And then he'll get inspired by other flavors. So one of my favorite lunches that he makes is this Thai noodle salad with all of these different ingredients, crushed peanuts and bits of mint and all these herbs. And it's just so fresh and flavorful. So he really does make comfort food healthy and make healthy food feel really comforting. That's what I love. So when he was referring to dietary restrictions, well, he has two lactose intolerant people in the family, and we might be able to handle a little bit. Like, I can handle goat cheese. Gio still drinks milk and things like that because he just loves it and he can't get away from pizza. But the one thing that we both cannot do is butter because we're just doubled over. So Jamie has the great challenge of making everything taste good without using butter for sure. And most of the time not using any dairy ingredients. So that's the added challenge. I also pay attention to inflammatory foods. So typically I am eating gluten-free as well. So Jamie is paying attention to that. And we try to watch for like high salt content. So he has a lot of things that he's paying attention to in order to make dishes taste really, really good. One more question. What do you love about our retreat collaborations?
Well, first, I mean, I love working together with you. I think we make a great team, as we've kind of touched on a little bit today. You bring all of your talents of, you know, being a mentor, coach, and your yoga and different things that you can offer, wellness from that perspective. And then I can bring the food aspect into it. So together we're collaborating and creating this wellness retreat that's a learning experience for people, but also comforting and nourishing. And self-care, as you always call it, is so important. So I think people that come to our retreats are certainly getting a good dose of self-care. So yeah, I love working together with you. And also it goes back to what I said before. I love serving people. I love making food for people. I love seeing people's reactions. I love hearing that they enjoy the food because, as you have said, I do put a lot of effort into it and a lot of thought. So nothing better to put all this effort and thought into something and then have somebody really enjoy it, put a smile on somebody's face.
Yeah, I noticed that. Like whenever we're hosting family, he's paying attention to what every single person needs, and he's somehow still coming up with an amazing menu. So we have a family member who doesn't eat beef, and so he's cooking something that's wonderful. We have, you know, the lactose intolerant stuff going on. We have another person who won't eat this ingredient or that, and he's still able to accommodate everyone and just make these delicious things and really interesting spins on what you might consider like typical food. He'll just put this great twist to it. So for example, in the summer, I love his grilled potato salad. Like, think of what you think of when you eat potato salad, and it's nothing like that. The potatoes are like grilled and kind of crispy, and then he's adding scallions, and then whatever you mix them in, it's like, oh my gosh. Or Brussels sprouts, you know, you think of what you think of when you think of Brussels sprouts. Nope, it's the complete opposite. It's like shaved almonds with the warm Brussels sprouts and goat cheese and honey. And it's just like, yum, yum, yum. So I love working together with you at retreats because as soon as the women come in the morning, you're always making sure that they have the coffee that they want, the way that they want it, and tea, and then some breakfast snacks. And then, I mean, you will not go hungry at our retreats. And then we'll be having our writing sessions. And the women, I always see their faces perk up about a half an hour before lunchtime, and they can smell the amazing smells wafting in from the kitchen, and their stomach are growling, and they're like, what is he making? And then we'll eat, and they're always like, oh, this is so delicious. And then later on, usually at the close of our sessions, we have like some kind of ceremony where we might have a glass of wine or tea and sit near a fire, and we'll read our work out loud, and Jamie always has yummy snacks that he puts out. And then if it's like a long retreat, a multi-day retreat, we'll have these amazing dinners. I mean, it's the best. I feel so lucky that we get to work together and have the partnership that we do. So if any of this sounds amazing to you, well, guess what? We have retreats coming up. So we have one in Illinois in November. I'm super excited. It's in Wilmette, Illinois, which is about a half an hour outside of Chicago, and it's right near the train station so that you can just hop on the train if you live locally and get off there or park there. And it's going to be a lovely, lovely time of journaling and yoga nidra and, of course, Jamie's nourishing, yummy meals. And then We already are finalizing details for our upcoming summer retreats. We're going to have a 5-day retreat in our favorite place, Door County, Wisconsin, at the start of the summer. Think of everything you love about summer camp, but now add to that really amazing food, being right by the lake, being with other amazing women, and then doing journaling, being out in nature, resting, relaxing, kayaking if you want to, hiking if you want to, in one of the most beautiful places, I think, in all of the U.S. And then one of our other favorite places, Maine. In August, we're having a retreat near Camden. Oh my gosh. Oceanside. That's going to be 5 days of togetherness.
Oceanside.
Yeah, the house is on the ocean. So, oh man, you're in for such a treat. We just found the house. Jamie found it and I was like, yay. So you'll get to just do all of the incredible East Coast things. Like, of course, there will be incredible seafood. And even if you don't eat seafood, you'll have nourishing meals by Jamie as well. But you'll get to do all the water stuff that you want, or walk by the beach, explore the tide pool. We'll have a day in town. You can go to the shops. You can go to the lighthouse. You can take cool tours. But we'll also do all of the great stuff. Writing, meditation, yummy food. I can't wait. Okay, everyone. So if you're interested in any of that, you can go to my website, NadineKennyJohnstone.com. We'll be keeping the retreat groups small to create a really, really lovely environment. So you'll want to get on that. So when you go to my website, you'll see the announcement bar at the top that talks about the retreats. All right. Thank you for coming back week after week. Remember that if you do have any kind of voice memo that you want to leave for us, we can air you on future podcasts where you can leave a comment, ask us a question. You can leave a lovely review as you've been leaving online. You can do one via voice memo. Just send that to my Instagram account, Nadine Kenny Johnstone, in my DMs. Special thanks to my incredible producer, Michelle Rado of Flying Pig Audio, who has quite the culinary talent herself. When we visited her in Maine over the summer, she made the most incredible blueberry pie. So when we do our retreat in Maine, Jamie and I, next summer, we might have to call upon Michelle to do some blueberry pie baking so you could have a really good quintessential New England experience if you come and join us. And remember, every heart has a story and every story has a heart. See you next week.